In Southern California during World War II, the extravagant zoot suits of young Mexican Americans with the broad shoulders, huge lapels, narrow peg pants, and wingtip shoes clashed with the all-American austerity of the war. Eric Roy from KCRW in Santa Monica takes us back to the early 1940s in L.A. to the improbable flashpoint known as the Zoot Suit Riots.
For 10 days, starting on June 3, 1943, Los Angeles was rocked by organized violence that the press called the Zoot Suit Riots. Thousands of white sailors and soldiers roamed the streets, beating up Hispanic and black zoot suiters, stripping them down to their underwear right in public. The Hearst newspapers and other media were all over it with huge screaming headlines, feeding the fears of their mostly white readers with lurid but untrue tales of rampaging Mexican-American zoot suit gangsters. Playwright Luis Valdez remembers why mainstream society was so hostile.
They didn't know whether these ethnic types were mocking, you know, the business suit or not. Business takes itself seriously always, and the business suit is something that is quintessentially serious and conservative, the ultimate business suit. Here's something that's mocking that conservatism and taking it to great lengths and vivid colors as well. You know, I mean, it was like a clown suit in the eyes of people that respected suits. So, but this is what youth does, you know, youth mocks.
Guachamos pachucos, los vatos, the dudes. Street corner warriors who fought and moved like unknown soldiers in wars of their own.
That's a slice from the play Zoot Suit. Luis Valdez took the zoot and the history and wrote a smash hit that crashed cultural barriers when it debuted at the Los Angeles Music Center in 1978. The guy you heard is El Pachuco, a Greek chorus kind of character who sort of steers the play. Valdez just directed a radio drama revival of Zoot Suit by the LA Theater Works. He says the zoot was the thing for the swing music dance crowd.
It was just a sharp look, but it spread quickly. It spread throughout youth, and the girls dressed in miniskirts and fishnet stockings and pumps. And the whole objective here was to dance. So we're talking about big ballroom dancing, and so the pants were baggy because the guys were jitterbugging, the girls' skirts were short because they were doing flips and turns and lindy hopping and then jitterbugging. So it really became a dress style, a dance style, and also a street style. It was a way to be cool.
El Pueblo de Los was a battle zone. From Sleepy Lagoon to the Zoot Suit Wars, when Marines and sailors made their scores, stomping like Nazis on East L.A. Pero saben qué? That's later in the play.
The word zoot suit itself is of uncertain origin. No one really knows where it came from, but it meant hip right away, to be zoot. To be all reet, which I think is a wordplay on right, all reet. And in the Chicano community, there were some words that came in from Mexico City and the dance halls in Mexico City. And the word pachuco was one of them. So they suspect that El Pachuco may be a play of the word El Paso, you know, which was where a lot of people were coming through El Paso, Texas. So El Paso became El Pachuco, and all these young people that used to dress in zoot suits became pachucos.
Valdez says the zoot suit helped the World War II generation of young Mexican-Americans form an identity for themselves as Americans rather than Mexicans. It also gave them an American identity separate from the white people who wouldn't let them swim in public pools and who only hired them for the most menial jobs. Zoot suits were very expensive gear in a time of scarcity, and many zoots violated wartime fabric rationing. So the white soldiers and sailors who were stuck in L.A. waiting to be shipped overseas saw the zoot suits as an insult by unpatriotic young hipsters in greasy ducktail haircuts. Then, on the night of June 3rd, 11 sailors on shore leave said they'd been jumped by a group of pachucos. Word spread, and more than 200 sailors hired a bunch of taxicabs and launched the first attack.
When Marines and sailors really tried to wipe out the zoot phenomenon on the streets of L.A. and took it upon themselves to strip clothes off of young men. And then they invaded the East Side Barrios. They invaded East L.A. in taxicabs to beat up Mexicans, basically. It was a Mexican and blacks. And that precipitated a series of riots all the way across country. It started in Los Angeles And it spread through Beaumont, Texas. It spread to Chicago. It spread to Harlem. In Harlem, there were 500 people hospitalized, and five Negroes were killed. So it was disastrous. And that pretty much effectively ended the Zoot Suit, I think, as a safe cultural expression.
Los Angeles police didn't do anything to stop the violence. In fact, they arrested the victims en masse. So things did not calm down at all until finally the Navy declared Los Angeles off limits to servicemen. One guy who was there, 81-year-old Bert Duran, says he stayed away from the rough stuff because his brown pinstripes cost too much.
The only place I used to go for the dances on Saturday night, that's all. The rest of the time I spent working. I used to work every day, Saturdays, 9 hours, Monday through Saturday. Picking oranges. A tailor-made suit. Who could afford it? Picking oranges.
3 decades later, Duran's daughter, Phyllis Estrella, was so moved when she saw the Luis Valdez play that she opened a Zoot Suit shop in nearby Fullerton, California, called El Pachuco. And the radio drama revival of Zoot Suit was so happening, Valdez says he's going to bring a full-scale stage production back to L.A. next year. For Studio 360, I'm Eric Roy in Los Angeles.
I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360 today with the 40s connoisseur and film director Woody Allen. When you were a kid growing up in Brooklyn, do you remember seeing guys in what we now know as Zoot Suits? I guess what we then knew as Zoot Suits?
Yeah, a little bit. Not so much in Brooklyn, but when I would go into Manhattan, used to see guys hanging out with Zoot Suits and the big keychains and the broad shoulders and pork pie hats, I remember, and certainly remember Mr. B collars.
Mr. B collars?
Yeah, Billy Eckstein.
Oh, yeah.
He had those collars that came up. I can't describe it on radio vividly enough, but they sort of achieved an odd kind of warp in physics, and they made you look attractive. If you were attractive to begin with, they helped. If you were not attractive, the same with all these things. If you're not attractive to begin with, you look like a jerkin. But if you got a great looking guy, you know, there was some guy with some style, and he suddenly had on a Zoot Suit and a pork pie hat and great shoes, and you know, he looked great.
Now in Curse of the Jade Scorpion, obviously it's beautifully designed and the sets are gorgeous and all of these 40s buildings that still exist in New York, you use. And the fashion, too, is beautifully 40s. But I noticed that although everybody wore hats in the 40s, all men wore hats in the 40s, your character and the sort of good characters don't. It's sort of the jerks.
Oh, no. I wore a hat.
Really?
Oh, yes. I wore a hat throughout that picture.
But I remember those two detectives, the two dumb bad detectives, are the real hat wearers, at least.
They just look silliest in their hats. But no. We all wear hats. And I wore a hat many times in the film. There was great consternation about me having to wear a hat and trying to find the right hat. And actually, we cheated a little bit and got a hat that was a little more toward the 50s when they started to get a little smaller. Because it's very hard for me to wear a hat and not look rabbinical. I rue the day that I had to wear a hat in the movie because I wish there was some way that I didn't. And I sought every opportunity to take it off because I look, you know, I can't.
Maybe that's what I'm responding to in memory.
I can't, you know, I just don't look good in a hat.
Do you actually wish that some of that formality of the 40s was back? That people actually had a certain style that was adhered to generally?
You know, I do wish it was back, and I don't know why, because I'm the least formal person. I'm not a tie wearer. I'm a sloppy dresser. I don't really care about clothes very much or the formalities in general. I don't live in a formal dwelling. I'm just not formal. I'm not formal with the people that work with me. And yet, I think it would be very charming in New York if it did have that formality.